Joo-Young Lee, an associate professor of sociology at the University of Toronto Centre for the Study of the United States, said the Second Amendment plays a big role in the arena of U.S. public discourse. Americans in general are suspicious of the state restricting their freedoms or telling them what they can and what they cannot do. But advocates like Price say gaps in the Canadian system remain, allowing events like the Nova Scotia shooting to happen. Neighbors had previously raised concerns over the behavior of shooter Gabriel Wortman to the point that police had previously investigated him. Officers also knew he had a history of domestic abuse and owned a number of firearms. Price said, "You don't just need legislation to tell you what kinds of guns and ammunition you can own. You can also need institutions to have the ability to educate and to intervene." Adding, police should be able to move swiftly and take weapons away when they suspect they are at risk. And while the headlines often focus on mass shootings, the majority of shootings in Canada involve handguns in large urban centers. Lee said the bulk of the incidents are happening in racially marginalized communities. So in Canada, marginalized people bear the brunt of gun violence, just like they do in the United States of America. A recent survey found that a majority of Canadians, particularly those in urban centers, worried gun violence was increasing in their communities, a reality reflected in data from Statistics Canada. Firearms incidents in 2020 were double that of 2010. While straw purchasing and gun store theft are a problem in Canada, the gun that wounded Price's daughter was stolen from a location halfway across the country. Experts say a significant number of firearms come into Canada illegally across the border from the United States of America. Lee said, increasingly, in many ways, America's gun problem is becoming Canada's gun problem, adding, even though the U.S. has become an international poster child of gun control law, Gunari, there is a lot more commonality here in Canada than people might be willing to admit.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady. It is my absolute honor and pleasure to be with you guys today. And of course, with my wonderful friend and sister, Sister Razia Shamili. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. It's really an honor for me to be here.
We've been talking for the last few weeks about pre-pregnancy preps, right? And what parents should take before getting pregnant in order to have a good detox cycle going on in their body, ridding themselves of all the toxins and all the chemicals and all the poisons and the fumes and the residues, and to strengthen themselves, their immune systems, their organs, their calcium level, their iron level, in order to accommodate for a whole new developing, literally growing limb-to-limb human being. Sister Razia, you've been spending these last few weeks actively trying to make me die of hunger on this show.
So I've been successful. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, I keep getting motivated to go home and cook.
I know.
And make all those things that you say because they taste and sound so yummy. How about we look at the other side of the coin? We keep talking about things that we should eat. I'm pretty sure there are things that we shouldn't put into our bodies as well, right?
Exactly, right. There are actually a lot of things that we shouldn't put in our bodies, and actually we are putting into our bodies. For example, all those canned food, like canned tuna, or
canned beans,
canned food. There's canned everything. There's canned korma sabzi, all kinds of foods and desserts, pies, brownies. Everything is canned.
Right.
And for example, even the dairy products that I have that are recently very popular, they are so full of preservatives. I've actually bought one cream cheese 3 months ago. I took it with walnuts and bread for my daughter because we were going somewhere on a journey, and I took it in the car. Then she didn't have any because she didn't like the cream cheese, and then it stayed in the car and I forgot to take it out from the car. After 3 months, I took that cheese out of the car. The car was actually in, you know, normal temperature. It was winter, and the cream cheese was intact.
Oh, my God.
And it didn't smell bad. It was cream cheese. So just imagine how much additives they have put in this cream cheese, or even yogurt. Mm. When I buy yogurt, after about 10 days, it starts to go bad because all these stuff, molds
bacteria,
start to form.
Yeah.
And you know that it smells bad, it looks bad, you can't have it. Some yogurts that I've been trying that my daughter really likes, after 1 month,
they're still there. They're untouched.
Untouched. Just imagine.
Imagine what we're putting into our bodies.
Exactly.
I mean, probably, given the amount of preservatives this generation is taking, probably if we die and 1,000 years later they come and excavate our graves, they'll find a bunch of mummies that have been preserved due to all those processed food that we consume. Our bodies are just going to be untouched.
Or maybe they're going to be decayed even twice as, you know, sooner and faster than a normal body. Subhanallah, that the kind of food that, you know, because we're busy.
Yeah.
You don't have time to cook. So everything is, we go to the supermarket, we find vegetables frozen, ready, chopped, just in the freezer. You just take it home, you crack it open, you put a little bit of frozen carrots or berries or whatever you find in the fruit in the shops. You put it in your dessert or in your food. How much food nutrient do you think you can put in your body this way?
Exactly.
Very, very little. Mm. Even the dairy products that we're consuming is so high in preservatives and additives that they have rarely any nutrients for your body.
Even the vegetables that we, like, we think we're eating fresh vegetables, but the fertilizers that are put into it, the insect repellers that are put onto it, it's just so, it's just a bunch of chemicals basically that we're putting into our body. I had a friend, he'd say that one of my favorite things about Iranian fruits is and vegetables is I often find worms in it. And I'd be like, how is that a good thing? And he'd say that, you know, it's organic.
Exactly. So sometimes you find like really large red apples that are intact, you know, that they're like so, look so healthy and fresh. But then
they
God
will stay
knows.
In your fridge for a year.
Exactly.
I've tried.
I know, I've tried. Number one, food that have been like half prepared food that they're kept in the freezer and you just
like nuggets.
Yeah, exactly.
Patties.
Or pizzas or lasagnas or
frozen
any
food,
frozen
basically.
Foods that they're half prepared. They're really bad because they're filled with nitrates and preservatives and additives and stuff like that. Two, complex mixture of ingredients, food that are very, they have a lot of ingredients, like a mixture of complex ingredients added to nitrates and additives and everything. These are super unhealthy for the body. As you mentioned, fresh fruits and vegetables. One person once told me that sprouts are the best sources of nutrients for the body because they are still living and they're still growing. And they haven't been cut from their source of livelihood and life. Mm. So when you put it in your mouth, that's when it dies. But sprouts are so good. You know, making
really
a salad with lettuce, chickpeas. Of course, if you cook them with, I don't know, if you can, you know, if your stomach can tolerate chickpeas cooked with milk, then you add it on top of the salad. And you put fresh lemon and sprouts and olives and olive oil and a little bit of vinegar, this, and tomatoes and garlic.
Some mint, some basil.
These are
to die for.
And some kernel seeds.
Yes.
I find it super, super healthy. And
filling.
Filling and nutritious.
Yeah, it's a perfect food.
Perfect.
Sprouts, you can also use them in stir fries. Stir fries are actually a very good, easy way to cook all your vegetables up.
How do you make it?
So basically the Asian style stir fry is you saute some garlic, you saute some onions, you usually cut your vegetables, whether it's carrots, zucchinis, bell pepper, celery even, into like matchsticks. And you toss it into the fryer, you saute it a little bit, you add some salt, some brown sugar, some soya sauce, and then you
some
top
brown
it with sprouts.
Sugar,
yeah. And some sprouts, like, it literally takes, without exaggeration, 6 minutes to make.
Wow.
The hardest part is just cutting gosh darn vegetables.
Yeah.
But it takes like 6 minutes to make. You can have it with noodles, with brown rice, or just plain on its own, high in fiber. It's full of flavor. Yum.
Oh.
Exactly. So, guys, the point is, this is not a cooking show, just to clarify. We're talking about things to do pre-pregnancy, right? Because we've talked about spousal selection, we talked about the importance of marriage, we've talked about the importance of establishing a family. All of these are just components that go into fulfilling the objective of being a good Muslim.
Because Islam is a holistic religion.
Absolutely.
It's not a single dimensional religion.
Yeah.
It encompasses, it envelopes all aspects of your life, whether it's physical, psychological, spiritual, self-care, beauty. Everything has to go hand in hand in order that you have a healthy, sane human being, a mother and a father to be, right?
Exactly. And for people to think that Islam is just about, you know, secluding yourself from life and society, depriving yourself of all the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made halal upon you, sit on your prayer rug all day and all night and just weep and pray. I mean, sure, if you're going through a rough time in life, that's totally fine. But in general, that's not a healthy way to live. Rasulullah didn't live like that.
Exactly.
He would cook, he would buy groceries, he would tell people what to make, and it's part of natural human life.
Exactly.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
One point is that be a mindful eater.
Yes.
This is so important. فَلْيَنْذُرَ الْإِنسَانِ إِلَىٰ تَعَامِهِ. This is a beautiful verse in the Noble Quran that I learned actually from one of my daughter's classes, that when you pay attention to it, because a lot of us are watching movies when we're eating, or we're in the social media while eating food. But mindful eating means all your attention, your eyesight is focused on the food, this food rich, filled with nutrients that you are consuming. You should be extra, extra careful that your intention, purify your intention, that when I am having this tasty meal with the intention that I am going to use this energy made from my limbs by this food in the way of serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right?
Beautiful. That's an act
of
ibadah.
Exactly.
That is worship right there.
Exactly.
And that's a true believer. When the Imam alayhi salam says that too much of anything is not good except the remembrance of Allah. And by remembrance of Allah, it doesn't mean that we always have to hold a rosary in our hands and go subhanallah,
subhanallah. Exactly.
It means whatever I do, I'm mindful. Just like you said, I'm aware where this is coming from, why I'm doing it, how it connects me to God, whether it pleases Him or not. And even in eating, even in preparing for getting pregnant.
Exactly. And all along, keep into consideration, especially because we're talking about pre-pregnancy preparations, keep into mind that, oh God, I'm putting so much effort, so much energy into all these, and then I am planning to have a daughter or a son, a child, a healthy child who would be sane and who would become one of your servants and one of the reciters of the term La ilaha illallah,
beautiful.
Right? There is no God but God. And there's this beautiful narration that I found somewhere that one of the imams was saying that whenever I am praying for a baby, I don't pray for a tall, beautiful, handsome boy or girl. Rather, I pray for a person, for a child who is going to be God-fearing and a good servant of Allah.
That's amazing.
This is so important. Mm. So all along, mindful living, mindful life. And this is also spiritual self-care, right? Mm-hmm. That you keep into consideration at every second of your life, whatever activity you're doing, because they say if our brains are so powerful that whatever you think will be actualized. I mean, non-Islamically looking at it. So if your intention is to consume all these for your health and for the health of a child who would be a servant and who would be a worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a helper of the imam of his time, then definitely you are doing, as you said, ibadah every second of your life.
Beautiful.
Right?
It's absolutely beautiful. It's all about perspective at the end of the day.
Right.
How you choose to look at it and which goal you choose to set your eyes on through the journey of life. And how you shift your focus, you make something so material and you turn it into something so incredibly godly. When you were talking about being mindful of what we're eating, I remembered both Allama Tabatabai and Ayatollah Hasanzadeh Amuli. They had a habit of staring at their food before they would eat it. And Allama would say that I would look at my food, I would smell my food, I would talk to my food, thank my food for entering my body, giving
so
me energy. How romantic, how wholesome.
I know.
How zen, how mystical is that? How beautiful is our religion?
It's gorgeous.
Yeah. Oh, I just wish people knew of it more like this as it is.
Subhanallah. Yeah, but the problem is that everything goes back to your intention and what goes in your mind. Because a lot of people these days are putting a lot of time on preparing something to be eaten just for the joy of cooking.
Mm.
Just merely, this joy of cooking, if it's related to your connecting with your Creator and you're making, preparing something for yourself and your family for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it turns into an ibadah.
Mm.
But just making it to impress other people or, you know, to just put it on social media so other people will say, wow, you know.
She's living her best life.
Exactly. So we should not forget that the same activity could turn into a worshiping act or turn into an act that would degrade the personal status of a human being. It just depends on how you look at it and how you use this activity in your daily life.
MashaAllah. We're basically talking about pre-prep for pregnancy. And we were discussing the things that we should avoid putting into our bodies, things that are high in preservatives, canned foods, processed food, fatty food, junk food. Sure, every once in a while when you're craving it, it's totally cool. Have a chips, have a chocolate. It's fine. Have a fruity yogurt or something. But don't make it like part of your diet.
Exactly. Some other food that, according to the Risala of the ulama, it's haram, is like some people consume foods or medicine that would make themselves infertile. Yeah,
that
men and women.
Basically defeats the objective.
Exactly. So this is obviously haram. Just wanted to make sure that I say that. Also, haram food. blood, mm-hmm. the meat of animals who ate najasat mm-hmm. or impure, unclean foods, mm-hmm. pork, eating of dog and cat, as they have the custom in some countries, or animals that are not done or are not slaughtered according to the Islamic instructions, mm-hmm. fishes that do not have scales. For example, snake fish. Mm-hmm. Also, birds that do not have gizzards and they do not have a little lump at the back of their feet mm-hmm. that makes their flesh to be halal. Mm-hmm. Also, consumption of alcohol is haram according to Islam. Mm-hmm. And as they say, medically speaking, it causes the decrease of the child's intelligence mm-hmm. and also the softening of the bones. So especially mothers who drink a lot of alcohol and are planning to get pregnant, they should detox their bodies by stopping to consume any alcoholic products.
I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the opportunity and the strength to put our effort, our energy, and our investment into bettering our lives with the objective of reaching him through this journey. Inshallah ta'ala, thank you so very much, Sister Razia.
Thank you very much.
And thank you to you, brothers and sisters, for being with us on this segment of Muslim Lady. Until another episode, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Who is the lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammad Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Food for thought.
Salam, friends, and today, on the auspicious birth anniversary of our innocent Lady of Qom, Hazrat Fatima Masume, peace upon her, the daughter of the Prophet's seventh infallible successor, Imam Musa Kazem, peace upon him, we present you a saying from her grandfather, Imam Jafar Sadiq, peace upon him. Soon a lady by the name Fatima from my family will be buried in Qom. Paradise becomes obligatory on the one who visits her.
Thank you.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Cultural news. Social news. Scientific news. Artistic news. With the light.
A bridge too scary for many, but just the right place for those with a head for heights. Vietnam has opened the world's longest glass-bottom bridge to the public.
The now recorded longest glass-bottom cliffside pathway, and it's spectacular, the engineering required to build that into the side of a cliff but maintain all the features of nature, the greenery, the rock, has been an amazing project, very successful, and I think it will attract a lot of tourists.
The White Dragon Suspension Bridge fittingly opened with a dragon dance. The structure is longer than the previous record holder in China and has two sections. One stretches over 630 meters between two mountains, while the other runs around a cliffside. Visitors can look straight down at the valley 150 meters below. The structure is safe and made from three layers of 40 millimeter tempered glass. The contemporary ceramics exhibition kicks off at the Villa d'Atres Art Foundation near the French city of Avignon. The exhibit showcases nearly 130 artworks of all sizes. Some are so big they are put on display outdoors. The foundation has created these modern forms from roughly 100 artists from all over the world. The exhibit displays an exceptional diversity of eclectic works presenting sophisticated skills and artistry. Participating artists say working with clay and playing with glazes always produces a unique item that often generates a profoundly universal reaction. The goal of the event is to show how ceramic art has returned to the forefront of the contemporary art scene. The annual Vivid Life Festival has returned to Sydney after being cancelled 2 years in a row due to the coronavirus pandemic. The event kicked off with fireworks and lighting the sails of the Sydney Opera House. Iconic structures like the Sydney Harbour Bridge and the Museum of Contemporary Art Australia are part of a series of new canvases this time around. As an added treat, the 2022 festival also has the longest continuous light walk in the history of the event. Plus, this year's highlights include a choreographed light show by 600 drones. Both residents and tourists have been anticipating the return of the show.
I saw it about 8 years ago, I think, and it's just got better and better, as far as I can tell. I mean, the Opera House is the most amazing canvas possible to project, there's this amazing digital artwork. The vibrancy of it, the colour of it, the animation of it, the explosiveness of it, the colour just bursts out in just amazing ways, that the snakes, the chameleons, the lizards crawling across it.
The Harbour City will glow with 50 light installations, the projection artworks, as well as over 100 musical events. Vivid Sydney is an annual festival that lasts for 23 nights, infusing art, innovation and technology while collaborating with boundary-pushing artists. In 2019, the festival attracted millions of attendees. The event is owned and managed by the Tourism and Major Events Agency of the Government of New South Wales. Chilean scientists believe they have found the world's oldest living tree in a lush green forest in the south of the country. The scientists say their study shows an ancient cypress known as the great grandfather might have been the record beaten the record for the world's oldest tree by 6 centuries. The bristlecone pine tree in Eastern California is the current record holder with over 4,800 years of age. The scientist who led the study says the sample they extracted and other dating methods suggest that the Chilean cypress with a 4-meter thick trunk is over 5,000 years old.
We could count all the rings, but we know it's not the tree's age. It's an estimation of what we call a minimum age. So for this kind of tree, the scientific challenge is to estimate with science the part that we do not see and that is missing. And that is what we did with the millennial Alersi. This method tells us that 80% of all possible growth trajectories give us an age of this living tree greater than 5,000 years. There's only a 20% chance that the tree is younger.
Perichovich is, however, concerned about visitors harming the tree, which is located in the Costero National Park. He says visitors are still able to circle the tree's base, step on its roots, and even take pieces of its bark. The tree is a conifer native to Chile and Argentina and can grow to heights of up to 45 meters.
The world's oldest living man has just turned 113 years and says he is going to be around at least 10 more years. Good for him. Born on May the 27th, 1909 in Venezuela, Juan Vicente Perez Mora is still in pink of his health and memory and does not take medication. He has no trouble recalling his childhood marriage and the names of his siblings, children and grandchildren. He has 41 grandchildren, by the way. So what is the secret behind a long life? Work hard, rest on holidays, go to bed early, love for God, and always carry him in your heart. The Guinness World Records declared Perez Mora the oldest living person last week. The meadows in the foothills of the Swiss Alps have turned white these days, with locals calling it May snow. But it has nothing to do with snow. It's all about narcissus blooms covering the hills above the town of Montreux. Locals call the scene May snow because it looks like a blanket of snow from a distance. The flowers have been a tourist attraction since the 19th century, but factors such as urbanization have caused their decline in the past few years.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Humans have disrupted the turtle survival for years due to their greed for meat, eggs, skin, and shells. But the decreasing population of the species is creating conscience of conservation. Cambodians have released hundreds of turtles of an endangered variety into the wild on World Turtle Day. About 600 Cantor's giant soft-shell turtles were let into a river in northeastern Cambodia. After people collected the species from a holding pool, Cambodian monks blessed the tiny creatures, then set them free. The Wildlife Conservation Society was the organizer of this event. It said that only a few records of Cantor turtles have remained in Laos, while they have mostly been wiped out in Vietnam and Thailand. The body has so far released over 1,500 hatchlings into the wild in 2022. Artists in a small town in the United Kingdom have created a massive bumblebee mural, hoping to raise awareness about this vanishing species. The mural was painted on the playing field of a primary school in a town of Haptonbridge. It was debuted on International Bee Day. The artist used paints typically used to draw lines for football pitches. Scientists say rising temperatures and heavy pesticide use are contributing to the decline in the number of bumblebees across Europe and North America. They say the population reduction rate is consistent with mass extinction of a species altogether. Children at a school have also created a wildflower meadow to help encourage bees to pollinate. A print art exhibition chronicling nearly a century's worth of artistic achievements by a Chinese woodcarver has been unveiled in the city of Suzhou near Shanghai. The carved into wood exhibit features nearly 80 of Huang Yongyu's wood blocks and prints. Woodblock printing is a form of Chinese art dating back hundreds of years. In this form, patterns are carved out of a thick sheet of wood to create a type of multi-layered surface. Then ink is applied in various stages to print the image and its colors. The humble 98-year-old artist said during his years of practicing art, he learned that sincerity mattered more than technique. The exhibition was launched in collaboration between Suzhou Museum and the Beijing Fine Art Academy.
Persian fallow deer is a unique but endangered species known for its sleek and spotted body. In this report, our correspondent Youssef Jalali takes us on a quick tour around one of the world's few protected shelters of Persian fallow deer in Iran's city of Sari.
We had to keep quiet and avoid making any sounds to film them, as they are shy and swift, and the slightest sound could send them sprinting and jumping away. Over 60 Persian fallow deer roam in Dashtanaz Wildlife Refuge in Iran's northern city of Sari. The endangered species is carefully protected here to be safe from predators and poachers.
The Persian fallow deer is native to Iran's Khuzestan province, but due to loss of habitat and threats posed to them by predators such as jackals and wild cats, they are endangered and need to be protected in semi-natural refuges like this one.
Persian fallow deer are mainly indigenous to open woodland areas spanning from East Mediterranean coasts to West and Southwest Iran. By 1875, they had gone extinct in all of their main habitats, except in Southwest Iran. After a captive breeding program, the population has rebounded from only a handful of deer in the 1960s to over 200 individuals in Iran.
Dashtanaz Wildlife Refuge is 55 hectares wide. It was introduced in 1962 as a shelter for the Persian fallow deer when the species was on the brink of extinction. At that time, five deer were captured and translocated to this refuge. Over the past six decades, their number have been multiplied through captive breeding.
The Persian fallow deer is a rare ruminant mammal belonging to the family Cervidae. They're physically larger than other fallow deer, and their antlers are bigger and less palmate. Their special beauty has turned this sanctuary into a hot tourist attraction in Iran's north.
This sanctuary is a tourist destination for visitors who would like to see the Hyrkanian forests in Iran's north and at the same time enjoy the wildlife and learn about efforts made to save the Persian fallow deer from extinction.
In 2015, the Persian fallow deer was registered in the IUCN Red List of Threatened Species. Dashtanaz authorities hope through continued captive breeding, the population of these special creatures will soon reach the desired number, and hopefully they will be reintroduced to their natural habitat in southwest Iran.
While they live far from their original habitat, these alluring creatures feel at home here, where they will be safe from the dangers lurking outside, which may lead to their extinction. So here, Persian fallow deer continue to embellish the nature and charm visitors with their beauty. Youssef Jalali from Dashtanaz Wildlife Refuge in Sari.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear sisters, dear brothers, Salaam Alaikum, have a nice time. So welcome to this episode of today's special. Today is very special. Today is birthday anniversary of a great lady, Lady Fatima Masuma, peace be upon her, in Iran, today named as Daughter's Day. Congratulations to all of you, young ladies and daughters of the family. Today, Wednesday, is the first of Zilqa'dah, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 11th of the month of Khordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 1st of June, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Again, we offer congratulations to all of young ladies, Muslim ladies all around the world. Traditions about this noble lady, Lady Fatima Masuma. It is interesting to know that the Imams, peace be upon them all, foretold the birth of this noble lady and her presence in the city of Qom in Iran many years before her birth. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, said, "A lady from my child, whose name will be Fatima, daughter of Musa, will die in the city of Qom. One of the Day of Judgment, this lady will intercede for all my Shia to enter the heaven." Allama Majlisi, one of the greatest scholars in the Islamic world, narrates from Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, "A lady from my children, by the name of Fatima, will be buried in the city of Qom. Whoever visits her shrine will certainly be admitted to heaven." The writer of the tradition says that the Imam Sadiq gave these glad tidings even before the birth of his son, the seventh Imam, Imam Musa al-Kazim, the father of the Lady Fatima Masuma. Since Imam Kazim was born in 128 AH and Lady Fatima Masuma in 173 AH, this speech was made at least 45 years before her birth. Therefore, the good news of her birth was foretold more than 45 years before she was born. Dear young ladies, dear daughters of Muslim families, congratulations on birthday of Lady Masuma, peace be upon her.
Assalamu alaik, assalamu alaik, assalamu.
The names of titles of Lady Fatima Masuma. It has been emphasized in many traditions that the choosing of a suitable name for a child is the responsibility of the father. The recommendation is that if the child is a boy, then the name of the Prophet and the Imams, especially the names Muhammad and Ali, should be chosen for him.
and for a daughter, there is no name more suitable than Fatima. The Imams, peace be upon them, due to their high esteem of Lady Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, would accord great respect and reverence to the name Fatima, so much so that when one of his companions informed Imam Sadiq that he had chosen the name Fatima for his daughter, the Imam exclaimed, "Ah." Then he said, "Now that you have kept her name Fatima, be careful not to ever curse or beat her." And it was due to this respect that the Imams would name their children by these holy names, and usually more than one child had the fortune to have such a noble name, especially so in the case of Imam Kazem, peace be upon him, who named four of his daughters Fatima. We know that the name of Lady Fatima Masuma was Fatima al-Kubra. The title of Masuma was given to this noble lady by her brother, Imam Reza, peace be upon him. It is worth noting that this title was awarded to her after her demise, and she was not referred to by this name during her lifetime. Dear Muslim, congratulations on the birthday anniversary of Lady Fatima Masuma, peace be upon her. Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to talk about one of the daughters of the seventh infallible Imam, Musa bin Ja'far, salamullah alayhi, who is well known as Hazrat Masuma, salamullah alayha. Hazrat Masuma, salamullah alayha, whose shrine is located in the city of Qom, is one of the daughters of the seventh infallible Imam, Musa bin Ja'far. Her given name is Fatima, and Masuma is her designation, description, or descriptive term. In historical books, and in hadith and historical books, she's referred to as Fatima bint Musa bin Ja'far, that is, Fatima, daughter of Musa, son of Ja'far. However, for at least hundreds of years, at least within the Iranian and Shiite context, she is referred to as Hazrat Masumah. Masum means infallible, and Hazrat Masumah, the final A or A in Arabic, is a feminine marker. It indicates that she is a very especially a favored lady, such that she had a very high status before the infallible Imam, the seventh infallible Imam Musa ibn Ja'far, and her brother Imam Ali ibn Musa Rida alayhi salam. At the same time, it must be indicated that Ismat, that is infallibility, must have various grades or levels. Of the highest level of grade, the highest level of infallibility can be found in the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and other infallibles. Fatima Zahra sallallahu alaiha and the 12 infallible Imams. At the same time, we find that such a kind of infallibility isn't expected to be found in Hazrat Masuma sallallahu alaiha. However, next to this, great and exemplary piety, as can be noticed in the life and times and practices of very top-ranking religious people, was certainly available in the conduct and behavior of Hazrat Masuma salamullah alayha. And because of this, she has been referred to as Hazrat Masuma. Thank you.
Feeling so good, smiles and greetings everywhere. Eid Mubarak to everyone out there. Whole families, they gather and celebrate. Today's the day, so come on, no time to waste. Sometimes the world takes us so far, though miles apart. Today you're in my heart. Eid al-Sa'id, let's enjoy this happy day. Eid Mubarak, come on, let's celebrate.
عيد سعيد Let's enjoy this happy day عيد مبارك Come on let's celebrate Celebrate Let's celebrate الله الله Thank you for this day
The birthday of Lady Fatima Masuma is a good opportunity for us to reflect on the various dimensions of her great personality, to promote her moral virtues for all the women of the world, regardless of religion and nationality, and a good reason for naming this.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.